Potter. Mm-hmm. So I've asked my daughter Ramona, and Joshua is going to come and sing a song that talks about that. Come on.
Empty and broken, I came back to Him. A vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin. But He did not despair, He started over again. And I bless the day, didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashioned the clay, a vessel of honor I am today. All because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. He is the potter, and I am the clay. Molded in His image, He wants me to say. When I stumble and fall, and my lesson breaks, He just picks up the pieces.
He doesn't throw
away the clay. Over and over, He molds me against me into His likeness. He fashions the clay, a
vessel of honor
I am today. All because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. A vessel of honor I am today. All because Jesus didn't throw away the clay.
Thank you. Thank you. A vessel of honor I am today because Jesus continued to work in my life and in your life. He doesn't discard us when we make mistakes, when we falter, but He continues to work in our lives. Thank you for that beautiful song. Kids, you're dismissed to go to your class. If you're here today, you can go with Ramona. And I guess if you're not here, you can't go. That was a little bit of a silly statement, wasn't it? Clay in the hands of the potter. I would like to pray before I begin this message, and I want to invite the Holy Spirit to speak through me, because I'm definitely clay, that I can only be a vessel, a conduit for His word to go forth. It's not me, but it is Him. And it is your receptiveness. He can open your heart, and He can open your mind to understand. And so that's what I pray for today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity that we have just to be Your children, just to know Your presence in our lives. I thank You, Lord, that You have designed for us a life that is full of preciousness. Things that You have for us, a gift, and what You have in store for us is beyond what we can imagine. I thank You because sometimes we have to crawl back on that wheel, the potter's wheel again, to be refined and restored to what You want us to be. But I pray that You will speak to us today by Your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Clay in the hands of the potter. God has a very special plan and a purpose for each of our lives. And He works to bring that plan and purpose to fruition. However, it may require an uncomfortable and perhaps even painful process. Sometimes it is not easy, it's painful. I'm reminded of an example. I watch this veterinarian show sometimes, program. And I said, yeah, Dr. Pohl. And I saw one of the vets there in the office. They received a dog. The owner brought the dog in, and she said the dog has been, something's happened to him several days ago. He doesn't eat anymore. He's losing weight, and he seems to be in pain, and nothing I can do can change it. So the vet began to examine him. And he said the dog was not very receptive. He didn't want to be touched. He didn't want the vet to touch him. And the owner said, he's usually a very, very receptive, you know, very loving dog, but he doesn't let me touch him. And so the vet started working and began to look, and he opened his mouth. The first thing they do is open their mouth to check their teeth. You know that that's an important part of our health, is our teeth. So he opened his mouth, and he said, oh, and the dog was, oh, didn't want him to touch him. And he was really, he's going to bite him. He didn't want him to touch his mouth. But he opened his mouth, and there in his jaw was wedged a bone that kept him from being able to eat. That bone that he'd gotten out when he went outside, he picked up a bone, and the owner didn't know what it was. And I thought about us, and here the veterinarian, he removed the bone, and it was okay, but it was a painful process. And the dog didn't want it done. He said, don't touch me. And sometimes that's the way we are. We go through a problem in our lives, and we've got something wedged in our lives. We don't want to be touched, and we don't want anybody to bother us, and we certainly don't want the Lord to do anything. We just say, God, why have you dealt this to me? But I'm going to tell you that it is for our own good when we allow Him to take out the bone or that which is in our lives that is causing problems. In Jeremiah, we read in the 18th chapter about the potter and his wheel, the verses 1 through 4. It said, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give my message to you. He said, I'm going to speak to you through this example. And he speaks to us the same. He said, so he says, I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Now God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and watch him make a vessel. As Jeremiah was watching the potter refashion the vessel, something unusual happened. The potter suddenly stopped. In the middle of the process, the vessel wasn't turning out the way he intended. Sometimes in the middle of the process where we think we're on the right path, it's not like it God wants it to be. So the potter wadded the clay back into a ball, pressed his fingers deep into the clay. How painful that is for us sometimes when God is working on us and He presses His fingers, so to speak, into our lives, and it's painful. But it is what is needed to make us, to remake and reshape us. Presses His fingers deep into the clay, and He beats it with a wooden mallet to remove the air bubbles. Some of us have some air bubbles, don't we? And so the scripture says that the vessel was marred. Marred means that it was unfit or unprepared. It does not mean that there was anything wrong with what the potter had done. There was something about the vessel that was defective. Maybe stones, maybe lumps, whatever it was, it had to be worked out. What about the potter in this story? Was he unskilled? Was it his fault that the vessel was defective? No. In Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 5 and 6, the word of the Lord came to me saying, oh, my chosen people. You know what? We can be God's chosen people and still have some flaws that need to be worked out in our lives. Now, He was talking to Israel, but we too, we could apply that to our lives as well. He says, why can I not do with you as this potter does? declares the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, he said. Just like that clay in the potter's hand, that's what you are in my hand. Can you not trust me to make you what I want you to be? God is the potter in this story, and he does not lack the ability to form a vessel. He formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, it tells us. And man became a living being, it tells us in Genesis 2:17, how God formed that perfect man. So we know that the problem wasn't with the potter and his ability. That means that the problem must have been with the clay. There were still some impurities in the clay that needed to be removed. Perhaps there were air bubbles that would cause the finished product to be weak. We don't know what the problem was. We only know that there was something wrong with the clay that would cause the finished product to be less than what the potter had planned. Sometimes there are things in our lives, we don't know what it is, but we don't see the future. God sees the future. We don't know what it is. The potter had a decision to make. Should he throw the clay away? Determine it was completely useless? No. Just like the song that Ramona and Joshua sang, he chose to refine whatever was wrong with the clay and start again. That's what he does with us. He's the potter and we're the clay. Song says, empty and broken, I came back to him. We come to him. He's the one who changes our lives. A vessel unworthy, so scarred by sin. We make mistakes. Even when we've made a decision to follow Jesus, we have times in our lives where we look and we say, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And we're scarred by that sin, and we can let it defeat us. But he did not despair. The potter said, I'll start again, and I will remake, and I will refine you. And so he didn't throw the clay away, and God does not discard us when we make mistakes. Some people think, I have heard, and you have heard people say, well, I don't want to go to church. If I came in that church, it would probably collapse. You don't know what my life is like. God does not judge you. He judges you based on the blood of Jesus. Receive the blood of Jesus, and your life is changed and transformed. It's not what you have been. It's what he has done to remove what you have been, what you've done. The potter probably had to start over several times, just like he does in our lives. We're not always perfect. We make mistakes. There wasn't just one problem with the clay, yet the potter didn't give up. He patiently worked with the clay until he was able to produce what he had planned. I like that that poem that Sister DeLois wrote, and she shares with us sometimes, talking about how that she says the potter comes and he says, you've got to get back on that wheel. And I say, no, Lord, I don't want to get back on the wheel. But we again crawl back on the wheel because God has some work to do in our lives. God is looking for a yielded clump of clay, one who will trust him to be in control. And that's what the song I asked Sister Richie to sing today was, I'll trust the potter's hands. He knows what's best for me. God knows what we have need of. If the dog had not let the vet remove the bone wedged in his jaw, he would have been worthless as a work dog, as a guard dog. He would have had no life. He would have died. And the same, even though there was some pain involved with the removal of that foreign object, it was for his good. And there is pain sometimes in what God is doing in our lives, but it's for our best. I read the story about a man and his wife in the horse and buggy days. They were driving along a narrow and dangerous stretch of road, and the woman became extremely nervous. Sometimes we do, don't we? Grabbed one of the reins, and as calmly as possible, the husband offered her the other strap. Oh, no, she said, I don't want them both. I could never manage that animal alone. Well, then, he replied, you must make your choice. It's either you or me. We can't both drive the same horse. She then surrendered the full control of the carriage to her husband. What God wants from us is full control, not half. Many times we try to take control of our lives, but God says, I don't want just part of your life, I want all of it. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. We have to be totally sold out to God. Let Him be the potter that molds us and makes us. When we don't understand, we cannot take control and say, well, I'll fix it myself. We don't want to be like that man that rode in his car while it was being towed to be repaired. You've heard the story, perhaps. He said, oh, I want to stay in the car while it's being repaired, while they tow it away. When they arrived at the repair shop, the tow truck driver told him, I didn't think I was going to make it up that big hill. And the man replied, I didn't either. That's why I kept the brakes on, so we wouldn't roll backwards. Sometimes that's what we do. We are so afraid that we can't turn it over to God. The guy couldn't turn it over to the tow truck driver. He kept the brakes on just in case they would roll backwards. Well, you know what? We have to give it all to God. He is the potter, we're the clay, and we can't be in control. Life to live without total dedication to Christ is the same as trying to go forward and holding back at the same time. We cannot do that. And Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6. He said, the writer there says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. In all your ways, submit to the Lord, and He will make it straight. There are times when we cannot see. I remember the story I heard Stuart Hamblin tell, how that he was ridden his horse, and he said he was a faithful old horse. I rode him up the mountain, and he said, I stayed longer than I intended to stay, and we were coming down the mountainside. And the winding trail around the mountain to get down, he said it was very narrow. I couldn't see it, and there was a drop-off, a precipice. And he said, I thought, what in the world I'm going to do? I don't know. He said, I had to let go of the reins and let that horse take control. He knew where to go. He didn't step over the side. I just had to be secure, not try to direct him. And he said, and he took me home. I didn't have a problem. And I think that's the way it is with us. Sometimes we try to guide God and tell Him exactly how we want to go and where we want to go. We know the way. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is let Him take charge. And sometimes when we're on the potter's wheel, don't know why. We don't know why we're there. We say, I question it. I don't understand. We feel the pressure of the potter's hand as he's remolding and making us, remaking us. We're tempted sometimes to be angry with God and blame Him and perhaps question His wisdom and His goodness. I assure you, when you've turned it over to Him, He has a purpose and a plan for everything that comes in your life. And if we could see ahead and see what is ahead and what is behind like God does, He sees the full picture, a tapestry, He sees it all. We can't see it all. In Isaiah, the 45th chapter, verse 9, the writer says, woe to him who strives with his maker, an earthen vessel with the potter. Does the clay say to him who fashions it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles? I'm questioning why you don't have it made me in this way. Our response should be like in Isaiah, the 64th chapter, verse 8. You, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. I surrender to you. The 55th chapter, verse 9 says, as if Isaiah, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God does not think like we think. God sees what we cannot see. We cannot always see areas that need improvement, cannot always see what lies in the future, or understand how something bad today can turn out for good tomorrow. If we look back right now in our lives, and we can look back and see things that have happened in our lives, and we say, at the time I questioned it, I did not understand. How could it be for my good? And then we look today and we say, now I see the plan. God is the potter and we are the clay. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 11. The writer says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. There is no discipline that is pleasant for the current time, but it brings forth the fruit of righteousness, and we can be trained in the way the Lord wants us to be trained. Philippians, the 1st chapter, verse 6. Paul said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is not going to throw you aside now. He started that work. It says he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. When is the day of Christ Jesus? When we shall meet him, when he will come to take us to our inheritance, whether we go by way of the grave or whether we go by the way of the resurrection and his coming in the clouds, we're going to be changed and transformed. It says he began this work and he will carry it on to completion. All we have to do is surrender to him. Give him the reins. Don't hold on to one and say, I've got to be in charge partway. Can't do it. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11, is a familiar verse to you, and probably. But he says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Sometimes we doubt that when we're going through the fire. Sometimes whenever it's difficult and we say, I can't imagine how this is going to be for my good. But trust me, when you have put your trust in Christ, when you have trusted the potter, he knows what's best for us. And we can trust him with our lives. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Your plan may be, I've heard so many testimonies of people, and I know people who have made plans. They wanted, maybe this guy was talking the other day. He had plans. He was going to be an attorney, going to be a lawyer. And he was all ready to do that. But God had other plans. And it didn't seem to work out. God had a different plan. The man became a preacher or a teacher of the Word of God. He had the background, he had the education, and he dug into the Word of God. And he was a lawyer against the works of the enemy for the people of God. And so we may not know what God's plan is for us, but if we will let him take control of our lives, he'll show us and it will be opened to us. If you're watching this broadcast today and you have not committed your life to Jesus Christ and you haven't let him have the reins of your life and turned it all over to him, I encourage you, that is a decision that you want to make. It is the greatest decision you can make. We're living in some turbulent times today. We don't know what the future holds economically, politically. The world is in a lot of problems today. And we can look at that. We can say, well, I've got to take control. I've got to buy up this, or I've got to do something else. Give it to God. He wants to be in charge of your life, and he will do what's best for you. It may be the bone that foreign object that he needs to remove from your life, but he will bless you if you will allow him to do it. I encourage you to make him the Lord of your life and give it all to him. If you would like to do that today and you haven't done it before, I encourage you to just pray with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner and I cannot control my own life. I want to give it all to you. I accept the blood of Jesus to redeem me, to cleanse me from all sin, from unrighteousness. I receive you now as the Lord of my life. Take charge of my life. I want to be clay in your hands. Make me what you want me to be. I trust you with my life now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you sincerely meant that and you have committed your life to Christ, your life is going to be changed. The Bible says that we become new creatures, new creation. We're not the person we used to be. I remember that my husband, when he made that decision, said, you know, it didn't look like things were different until I got up the next day. And he said, the colors, everything was changed. My life had been transformed, and yours will be changed as well. Let God have control of your life. I thank you today for joining us at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May the Lord give you a blessed, wonderful week. Is there anyone here today that you say, I haven't made Christ the Lord of my life, I haven't really surrendered everything to Him, and I would like to do that? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. It is not something we have to be embarrassed about. It's something to be, the Lord said, you know, if you deny me before men, and if you're afraid to claim that I want you to be Lord of my life, He said, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. I don't want Him to deny me before the Father in heaven. I want to be accepted, don't you? I want to make that claim. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you would like to do that today, I invite you. This today is the day of salvation. Today is the best day to start your life all over again. Is there anyone today that would like to say, I want to just make Jesus Lord of my life today? I want my life to be transformed by His cleansing power. Anybody? Okay. Huh? I remember a young man that came one Sunday morning after church. And he came to the back there several years ago. My husband was here, and he was up on the platform at the end of the church service. And he said, I need to talk to the pastor. I said, okay, I'll let him know. And anyway, he talked to him, and he said, I want you to know I was in the church service, and you gave the invitation to accept Christ. And he said, I was high as a kite on drugs. I was not there, but he said, I heard what you said. And he said, I left. I walked through that door. This young man lived in this community, and he didn't usually come to the church. He just came. I guess it was Joshua's invitation he came. And he said, but I left that day. And he said, you didn't know, but I made a decision in my heart. And I walked out that door, and I said, I'm finished with the old life. And I asked Jesus to come into my life. And he said, I'm back today 7 years later, he said. That was 7 years ago, he said, that I did that. And he said, I want you to know that I never did any more drugs. God changed my life, transformed me. And he said, I just want you to know that I decided to follow Jesus. And he told how he had become a chaplain. God will use you if you just let Him use you. So if you did not, if you want to accept Christ and you haven't done it here today, it's all right. Pastor Richie says that he went home and at his coffee table sat down or knelt down and he said, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. And you can do the same thing. It doesn't have to be in a church service. It doesn't have to be in any particular setting. It is what is in your heart. Amen. Before we're dismissed today, I would like to ask, is there anybody that has any special? I know that we ask.